Third hour at Aaronautic and Jace here on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Love our chats with this man, Joel Corey, former sports agent. Does great work laying things out. He's got an article just dropped on CBS Sports. He now joins us. Joel, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, obviously disappointed in this market that the Titans are not in the Super Bowl, that their season came to an end a little too soon. But you know what happens when that happens? The market then talks about, okay, now, how do, you know, everybody plays GM, including us, on the radio and how they figure all this stuff out. What do you think is probably one of the biggest challenges John Robinson's going to have this offseason?
One is a lack of cap space. Last year the cap dropped to $182.5 million, which made things much more difficult for most teams. But the way I'm looking at it right now, preliminarily, assuming the cap's $208.2 million, which is the ceiling that was agreed upon by the NFL and NFLPA, they're about $7 million over. So they've got some work to do just to get cap compliant. So that's the first challenge, and they're 24 unrestricted free agents.
What do you think Harold Landry's agent is going to be telling the Titans, and how do you think ultimately it's going to play out, and what do you think his price tag will be, in your opinion?
Well, the first thing that I would be telling them is don't expect me to sign for anything less than Bud Dupree, because my guy did what you expected Bud Dupree to do, which was have 12 sacks, which was 10th in the NFL. So, but Dupree's never had 12 sacks in a season. So if you want my guy to come back, we got to be north of that. The deal average is $16.5 million, max is at $17 with the incentives. That's a starting point as far as the agent should be concerned. Franchise tagging is a little bit of an issue. Linebacker number projects to just about 18.7. The defensive end number projects to 17.85.
Interesting. I was looking at your article on CBS Sports, and it was pretty interesting, the categories. Least valuable acquisition, former Titan Jonnu Smith in New England. Why did you come up with Jonnu Smith being – I know he didn't have the year, obviously, New England was looking for. In fact, they were using Hunter Henry down the stretch. But why do you think so far it hasn't worked out for Jonnu Smith in New England?
Oh, that's an understatement. He didn't have the year they expect him to have. One, I was a little surprised that the Patriots decided to pay two tight ends $2.5 million per year. At the time, that made both those guys the third highest paid tight end in the league. There have been guys who subsequently surpassed that. But no one's going to confuse Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith as the second coming of Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez on the football field. That's what the Patriots had in the early 2010s when they made those two the highest paid tight ends. Jonnu Smith getting $2.5 million per year shocked me, quite honestly. For a guy who's never had 50 catches or 500 receiving yards in a year, he made the life miserable for every other team trying to re-sign a tight end like Mike Gesicki and Dalton Schultz. David Njoku, who hasn't been that productive in Cleveland, are going to point to that deal, his lack of production this year, and go, I want more. I had a guy as a runner-up who's a Titan for that category, Julio Jones.
Well, the Titans are going to be – we suspect the Titans are going to be in the market for a tight end. They desperately need to upgrade that market. You just brought up guys like Gesicki and Dalton Schultz. So you think they could be, you know, north of $10 million per year, those guys?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Njoku?
Njoku's going to ask for it. I wouldn't be surprised if they franchise him, as unproductive as he's been. It's a guy with a first-round pedigree, can stretch the field, is athletic. If he'd been healthy, they don't pay Austin Hooper $10.5 million per year. Now, getting to Dalton Schultz, if you look at what this guy did this past season, in one season, he has more production than Jonnu Smith has in the past 2 years. I think he had, 78 catches for, 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, and Johnny's, 70 for like 750 and 9 touchdowns. You don't think his age is going to use that when talking to teams?
Yeah. We had Martin Gramatic on last hour, and we got to talking about O.J. Howard because he is a UFA. He is a first-round pick that has underachieved. Some people think he's been a bust. What do you think the market is going to command for him? I mean, we suspect it's going to be a pretty low number, but how low?
Oh, that's a one-year prove-it deal. Once he tore the Achilles and Rob Gronkowski came in, his role changed for Tampa. They may want him back. I suspect Gronkowski goes back into retirement with Tom Brady, who coaxed him out of retirement. But you're looking more opportunity than money. He made $6 million on the one-year option, on the fifth-year option this past year. I think it'd be less than that. Jared Cook signed for $4.5 million to play for the Chargers last year with incentives. So you could do a deal for a lower base salary, heavily incentive-laden, and then if he performs up to the first-round pedigree, he's put himself in a whole different salary stratosphere. So I'm not doing a long-term deal coming off of the type of year he had this year.
We're talking to Joel Corey, and we're doing the cap exercises, trying to get the lay of the land going forward. So, Joel, I don't know how much you have heard some of the things that people throw out there. The frustration of losing in the first round and the way that Ryan Tannehill played has sparked a lot of discussion. What would it take to make a change at quarterback, a true upgrade for a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers? What I'm hearing you say when you look at when you're laying out some of the issues that the Titans have with their cap, it doesn't sound to me that it's practical at all. I felt that way from the start, but if you were to try to do that, how crazy would it be? And is there any way that you could make a net gain for your team in going down that road?
Yeah, well, you've made it harder to do anything with Tannehill for 2022 with the restructure last year to accommodate Julio Jones' salary, because he converted, I think it was $23 million of salary into signing bonus, which freed up $18.4 million cap space. That added to the 22-23 cap numbers, and he tacked on two voiding dummy years, which just compounds the problem. The thing is, he's got a $38.6 million cap hit. If you traded him before June 2nd, you're going to have $28.4 million in dead money, which is a salary cap charge for a player no longer on the roster. His $29 million base salary is already fully guaranteed. So if you wanted to bring in a Russell Wilson, who would have to waive his no-trade clause, or an Aaron Rodgers, who apparently is buying land in Williamson County, in Franklin, you'd have to have the other team want Tannehill back in return at that number. And then even if you brought those guys in, initially you need enough cap space to accommodate their salaries. It's $24 million for Wilson, and it's just in the cap space you need for Aaron Rodgers is basically $27.5 million. So if you're just doing the simple math on that, you're losing $15.3 million of cap space to add Rodgers, and then you're losing $13.8 million. If you're going to add Russell Wilson, once you got him there, you could restructure the contract. And both these guys, particularly Rodgers, since he's in a contract year, would want a new deal. You wouldn't be giving up significant assets for either one of them. And if I'm those two teams, I want three first-round picks for either one of those guys, or at least I'm starting at that point.
Right. So let's say that, and to me, I'm out. You know, if you ask me, am I in on that? No, I'm not. But let's say that you wanted to continue down that road. You just were laying out just how hard it will be to sign a Harold Landry. How many players off your current roster do you think it would cost you to even try to make that happen?
Well, you can always restructure certain guys for cap room. There's certain guys you're thinking that are going to be cap casualties anyway, like a Kendall Lamb. Then depends on how far they want to go. The offensive line is going to be important to any quarterback, but Roger Saffold could be vulnerable in that case. Maybe Taylor Lewan. Janoris Jenkins could be a salary cap casualty. You probably would have to restructure Kevin Byard. You might restructure Bud Dupree as well. We saw last year at the Saints, who had to shave like $110 million of cap commitments just to get under the cap and then found a way to franchise Marcus Williams. You can do enough salary cap gymnastics if you really want a player. But if I'm representing Rodgers a little bit more so than Wilson, I want to be the first $50 million per year player in the NFL. Maybe Rodgers does the Drew Brees thing. When he was in his late 30s, he decided he was going to give the Saints a slight financial break. Maybe Rodgers doesn't need to be the highest paid player in the league anymore, but that would be Rodgers calling that shot. But if you leave it to the agent's devices, he's going to be the highest paid player in the league.
So I guess all that to say, Joel, if you're sitting there and you're the Titans and you want to make all that happen, and you end up at the end of the day with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, and all this happens, let's just say multiple first-round picks, you're giving him what he wants contractually, and you're doing all the gymnastics to get under the cap. At the end of the day, are you a better team, or would you have been better off just trying to make another increment with what you have in the house right now?
Well, it's going to be MVP most likely for a second straight year. It'll be his fourth MVP award. So it's an upgraded position. You'd be the Nashville Rams because you wouldn't have any
right?
picks, but they end up having a ton of picks because they acquire day three picks, and you better hit on them if you go that route. And then your window, to me, is only so large. Derrick Henry's got 2 years left on his contract, and maybe it was a blessing in disguise that he broke his foot because that was a ton of mileage you didn't put on him because he was well on his way to obliterating any type of usage records in a single season. I don't know if Derrick Henry gets another contract. I'd advise against it after the deal's up after the 2023 season because of diminishing returns. But that's really, to me, what your window's always been. When you sign Derrick Henry to a four-year deal, you have Ryan Tannehill under contract through the same time. Julio Jones, when you traded from him, is under contract for the same time. So it's really that window. Maybe Rodgers extends it a little more because if you get him, you'd expect him to play at least 3 years, maybe four more. He said previously he wanted to do the Tom Brady thing and go into his mid-40s, so hopefully that would be the case. I don't think you're getting him, but we're just going through this exercise.
Yeah. I guess what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say is anything is possible, but if you're the Titans, is it worth really exploring this? Or this is me sitting here. I like what I've got. I'm not that far from where I need to go. If I can just get, if I can get the best from my team and my quarterback, if I can get back there, I still think they're not far from winning the whole thing. And this is a huge risk to try to go down this road. But I don't know. So that's what I'm trying to get at. Anything's possible, but how practical is this?
No, it's not very practical. Realistically, Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback in 2022, and then we'll see what happens for 2023. You barely lost a game to the team representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, and you had a very challenging season because your most important offensive player missed half the year and was trying to shake off rust in his first game back. So you could look at it, the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. To me, it's more half full than half empty. Plus, you had John Robinson basically say Tannehill's our quarterback and then had some very nice things to say about Julio Jones, where he was just hitting his stride at the end of the season after basically being injured most of the year. That's one guy I would try to get to take a pay cut as opposed to releasing, from the standpoint that what's he going to be worth in the open market after the type of year he's had? I know you have a $2 million salary guarantee that there's no offset, but A.J. Green signed 1 year for $6 million with incentives. They're about the same age. So if you get him to take a deal to $6 million, he can make up the rest of the salaries cut, which would be over $5.5 million in incentives. That might be a win-win for both sides.
Very intriguing. Joel, as always, fascinating stuff. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff. Joel Corey always brings it. There's a lot to unpack there. We'll talk more when we come back. And let me tell you, in the meantime, as we get this thing started, If you suffer from chronic joint pain, don't assume that the steroid shots and the pain pills that maybe you've been dealing with or offered or surgery, those aren't the only options out there. You can now get real, lasting, life-changing relief from QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in using biologic therapies to repair damaged tissue in your aching joints. Success rate is excellent with this stuff. People with knee and back pain and shoulder pain, they're moving again, enjoying life again, getting out and doing the things that you love to do with the help from QC Kinetics. Advanced, unique treatment. It uses natural biologic agents, mostly from your own body. They're put directly into your affected joint, and they go to work to soothe the inflammation and restore the damaged tissue. And then you're out, you're moving again. No surgeries, no drugs, no downtime. So call QC Kinetics and get a free second opinion and see if this is for you. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here on Darren Donegan Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD products curated for life. Elliot Freeman will join us at 1 o'clock, so we'll get into all things hockey with him as the Predators are off until next Wednesday. They'll be down in Dallas to take on the Stars. Willie Donick and Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Darren McFarland here. Good stuff from Joe Corey. All this stuff is very, very interesting. John Robinson, what set it up, Willie. Commented on, you know, what we've been talking about.
Well, he's down at the Senior Bowl, and he's been talking.
He's in Mobile.
He's been talking to Jim Wyatt. He had an interview with Mike Keith. So he had a 25-minute conversation. I'm looking at Jim Wyatt's article from down at the Senior Bowl. Here's what he said about Ryan Tannehill. You tell me if he is going to even go down this road at all of changing Ryan Tannehill. I'm of the belief that they will not even touch this, that Ryan Tannehill is coming back. So you tell me if you agree based on these statements. I think Ryan is a leader. I think Ryan is tough. I think Ryan has made a lot of great plays for us. He is our quarterback. I don't know that there is a quarterback who stands in the pocket and looks down the barrel of a blitz and throws the ball as good as he does. It should be as well, if you're grammatically correct. I get reminded about that from my wife all the time.
Oh, believe me. I know all about that. I know that feeling.
I know he works extremely hard, loves his teammates, is competitive. He's played a lot of good football. To have a micro-evaluation over one game is not fair to any player. I think you have to look at the scope of the body of work and what he has done for this football team since he has been here. So you tell me if you think that's a guy that's looking for a new quarterback.
Willie, come on. Now let's be realistic about it. He's a great teammate. He's a leader. Let's go over the key phrases. He's a leader. Is there a starting quarterback in the league that the head coach doesn't feel like they're a leader? Really? Did you think
Marcus Mariota was a good leader?
What do you think?
I think there's a reason they traded for Ryan Tannehill.
You listened to me for years. What do you think? Do you think that John Robinson wasn't saying the same stuff about Marcus Mariota? Works hard, great guy. Lee, what do you want him to say? What do you honestly think John Robinson's going to say?
Okay, but honestly, do you think Ryan Tannehill's a better leader than Marcus Mariota? I think the answer is pretty clear.
I think the answer is absolutely yes. Were we not sitting there at training camp when Mike Vrabel made the comments about Marcus Mariota, and we talked about it for about an hour?
Okay,
did he just say his quarterback needs to take more of an initiative?
You're missing my point. Yes, people are always going to say nice things. They're not going to rip a guy publicly. But let's look at the real stuff. When he says Ryan is a leader, there is no question he is a very good leader. I think Ryan is tough. Would anybody question his toughness?
Nope.
Okay.
But what does that mean?
Now, you could say Marcus Mariota was tough, and he probably was.
Yes.
But Ryan Tannehill is tough and stays out there. He hasn't missed a start.
I don't want to say who cares, because that's way too strong, because it does matter. We know you have to be available. So I don't want to diminish that he is tough. But, I mean, once again, One, he's not allowed to comment on Aaron Rodgers. Let's just put that out there right now. He's not allowed to comment on it. That's called tampering. He cannot comment on him. So he can only talk about Ryan Tannehill. He can't talk about Russell Wilson. He can't talk about Aaron Rodgers. It's tampering. What else do you think the general manager of the Titans that brought him here and owes him a ton of money, which he's getting an $8 million raise, what else is he going to say about Ryan Tannehill?
Okay, let me again.
I don't know.
What else is he going to say?
I like Ryan, he needs to step up. I mean,
okay, disappointed.
I'm
going to give you a question, Darren. You asked this, I'll throw it back to you. What did the Colts general manager say about his quarterback? Did he say the same thing?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not. Which tells me Chris Ballard is a pretty emotional guy because he seemed to be caught up in the moment of, you know, I don't know what his future. You know, I don't remember how he worded it, but it certainly was the stamp of approval.
He left it wide open about what the future is. This is a pretty – now, this is not a 10 out of 10 in terms of emphatic. Like, he could have said, John Robbins could have said, we are not going down the road of changing quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill will be the quarterback. But this might be an 8 or a 9. He says he is our quarterback. And to have a micro evaluation for one game is not fair to any player. You look at the scope and the body of work. So if I'm reading between the lines there, I'm interpreting that as I'm set at quarterback. I got a long list, and Joel Corey just laid out how dire it is. They have a ton of really tough decisions to make to stay where they are. So the exercise of trying to do, and you heard Joel Corey lay this out as well, to try to go down the road of getting Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson is a fool's errand. It's way too much. You may not succeed at it to begin with. And what about all these other things that you've got to get done? Starting with Harold Landry and going down the list. I think he's made up his mind. I'm going to go and try to get my team across the finish line, hope that my quarterback comes up big next time we get to that point. It's my job as the general manager to get them back to that position.
Well, I'm going to push back on John Robinson and say this is not about one game. Like, other people may make it about one game. This is not about one game. I'll remind everybody, 2 years ago, I said go get Tom Brady and upgrade the quarterback position over Ryan Tannehill. I also was happy when Ryan Tannehill got here because I had already determined way prior to that Marcus Mariota was not good enough. Okay, this is not about one game. Okay, Ryan Tannehill had a very, very average season. He didn't have a very good season at all. And at one point, pretty deep into the season, he had 14 touchdown passes to 13.
Yes, points. Again, I'll go back to the quote. What has he done for this football team since he has been here? The scope of the body of work. Don't micro-evaluate one game or even a section of a season. Nobody is arguing with any of that, Darren. I'm not arguing with that. I could sit here and tell you how tough those games were with what he had to work with. No Derrick Henry, offensive line issues, receiver issues, all around. Let's not go back through that. The question that keeps coming back up is, what do you do? Are you really going down the road of making replacement? And if the answer is no, then I don't know why we're wasting all the time talking about Aaron Rodgers building a house and all this stuff, because they're not going down that road. Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. Yeah, so that's just where I stand on it. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, when you turn on this afternoon, Jared is going to have his next thing where he lays out all of the salary cap stuff and how many first-round picks he's going to trade and trade Kevin Byard. All that's fine, but you're wasting your time. I see that there's no significance at all of Aaron Rodgers building a house here. I think there's zero significance. It comes down to this. Does John Robinson want to try to change the quarterback? I don't think he feels like it's a practical thing to do.
I think there was three sources that Jared had yesterday and that he quoted, okay? He had three layers to his story yesterday. One, he's in the process of building a home in Nashville. You know what I give that? A big whoop. Who cares?
I agree.
There's famous people moving and
all
building houses in Nashville.
Yes.
Music, sports, every day, all the time. All the time. And it doesn't mean a hill of beans. It means nothing. It's what we've known for the last 6 years. It's arguably the hottest market in the country. Certainly one of the hottest markets in the country. Okay, so big whoop. Aaron Rodgers is building a home here. Who gives a damn? That doesn't mean anything. Okay, the other one, his other source. Packers teammates do not expect Rodgers to be back in Green Bay. Again, big whoop. Is that breaking news? We've watched this whole thing play out in front of our eyes for the last 2 years. Okay, that's not anything new. What is new about that? But the other one does grab my attention. That Rodgers, and I don't know who he's getting this from, Rodgers is open to joining the Titans. So I don't know who he's talking to that is willing to go off the record and say, hey, that, because you are implying you have heard from Aaron Rodgers' mouth that he is willing and open to joining the Titans.
Let's come back to that. I want to explore that and talk about that when we come back.
All right, let's do that on the other side. Also, Doug, we'll get your phone call in as well as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Pete. Pete's heading to Vegas, going to the All-Star Weekend festivities. We'll probably talk to him on Monday and have him tell us all about it. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. All right, we're going over the three layers that Jared put out there yesterday. His sourced, according to him, he had sources on this. And the three layers is that, one, Aaron Rodgers had purchased land and was in the process of building a home here. Okay, I put that into the big whoop category. Famous people, athletes, build homes or buy homes here all the time. We're numb to it by now. It means virtually nothing. So what? He stand in line, Aaron Rodgers, with all the other famous people that live here. The other one, current Packers teammates do not expect Rodgers back in Green Bay. It's been said basically all year this was it. It's why I predicted Green Bay to go to the Super Bowl. I thought this was it for him in Green Bay, and he would go out on top. I thought that he was going to get to the Super Bowl and win it. Okay, so I don't put any stock into that. But the one that really interests me is that he was also told that Rodgers is open to joining the Titans. Now, that one piques my interest because you're directly telling us that someone told you they either spoke to Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Rodgers spoke to someone they know, and Aaron Rodgers told them, yeah, sure, I'd play for the Titans. That's the one that really got my interest. What about you, Willie?
Well, I would just like to explore that part of it. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you have publicly done everything but burn the bridge, I guess there is a scenario where he does go back there next year.
Where, like, he does go back to Green Bay?
I think there is a scenario.
A scenario,
there were a
yes.
lot of people at this time last year going, it's over, slim. It's done, he's gone. And over time, I think even Aaron Rodgers looked around and said, you know what? I might as well just stay. It's not going to be better anywhere else. We're a pretty good team. And even though my complaining and belly aching publicly, like, what's better? So in my mind, he has to be open to going almost anywhere. Like, you want to create options for yourself. But I think he found that the reality was last year, there weren't a lot of options. It's not like a lot of people can make it happen with the salary cap for what he would like. Unless he's out there going, I'll go anywhere, I'll play for $10 million. I'll make it easy for you. Which I don't think he's going to do. You just heard Joel Corey say, he's going to want to be the
highest paid quarterback in the league,
which he deserves. But I don't know if you could have your cake and eat it too. So how many people will really get into that game is what I'm asking. So to me, he has to have an open mind for everybody if he really wants to get out of Green Bay.
Right, but it has my interest that it specifically say joining the Titans. That
okay,
means
but
someone, he has told that to someone.
Okay, maybe so. I don't doubt that at all. That's probably dead on accurate. But isn't it possible that somebody from Denver could have asked that same person, is Aaron open to coming to Denver? Yeah, he's open to it. Like, what's different? Like, he's open to any good team that looks like they might win. Like, he may not be open to going to play for the Lions. But if you just pick a team, they're good, they might be looking for a quarterback, are you open to playing for this team? Hypothetically. Why would he say no?
Yeah.
So what, yeah. So what stock do you really put into that, honestly? I don't put a whole lot into it. I don't blow it off. I don't think it's untrue. But I think we get back to what's practical. Now, is he open enough to say, I'm going to make it worth your while. I want to come to Tennessee, and I think you guys got a heck of a team. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to come for nothing. You know, basically, well, I'm going to pay for pennies on the dollar.
I'll take a lot.
That's the only thing that could make it happen.
Because Tom Brady has done that over the years. He has. He's left a lot of money on the table, Tom Brady, to win. Right?
How serious is Aaron Rodgers? Now, if you talk to some people, they will say that they found ways to get that money reimbursed.
I know. I know where you're going with that, and I don't disagree. Let's go to Doug, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, guys. I'm with you on the practical side, Willie. It's, you know, I'm a Bills fan, and I kind of watched how Josh Allen developed with a good offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I mean, he was horrible in some of those playoff games, like against Houston, and the mistakes he was making. I think Tannehill can be your guy and then invest in Landry and others. I think they need another speedy receiver and in somebody like what the Bills did. They brought that Isaiah McKenzie in to give them that speed to try to replicate a Tyreek Hill. And I think Tannehill will be just fine, but he needs a quarterback coach. He needs somebody who can kind of be the quarterback whisperer, if you will, to get his mind right because he's good enough, but he's not the centerpiece of the offense. Derrick Henry is. Derrick Henry shouldn't have run the ball as many times as he did in the playoff game. They had the other kid, number seven, who was fabulous, and they went away from that. But my point is you have to have the full team for Tannehill to win. You can't bring in Aaron Rodgers if you don't plug up those holes that we would have, the Titans would have, because Tom Brady couldn't have gone to Carolina like he did in Tampa Bay and win. Tom Brady won because the Bucs were full, and they were a complete team, so... I'll hang up and listen to you.
We don't think this team is a complete team?
Well, it's not that. It's what would you have to give up? How less complete would the rest of your team be to squeeze in Aaron Rodgers if we're talking about the highest paid quarterback, which is upwards of 45. Right now, his cap hit for next year under his current contract is $46 million. Plus the dead money for Tannehill is $25 million. And all of the draft picks that you've got to give up. And then what that does to your cap, you might have to subtract some other players that otherwise you might have. So I don't know if it's as complete a team. That's been my position on it. I think the better way, and this is just me, is let's keep the formula as close to what we have as possible, and let's try to make those incremental gains. I agree with Doug. Let's look into ways. How do you get more out of Tannehill next year? Save for obviously staying healthy and, you know, putting a good team around him. That goes without saying. But what are the tweaks in the roster and what are some things in the offseason that he can work on to try to have a better year next year? I think he'll be dedicated to that. He wants to do it. That to me is a better pathway.
If you're not going to change anything around him,
you are going to change some things.
Todd Downing's coming back. So maybe the quarterback whisperer that he was talking about was Arthur Smith, and he's gone. So if you're not going to change anything around him, why do we expect the results to be, you know, completely different? He may have a better – look, I suspect he'll have a better regular season. We're not – to me, I'm not talking about the regular season. I'm talking about the end result. What does it look like in January and hopefully February? That's the ultimate goal.
But why – I don't understand why you think he just – automatically couldn't bounce back with a good playoff season next year. Assuming, I don't assume that they can get back there next year. The hardest part is getting back there. But let's say they do get back there. Why couldn't he, just like any number of athletes in the past, change the storyline and have a good postseason? What's wrong? Why couldn't that happen? I don't think he...
Because the previous year, he had a much better regular season and did not have a good game against Baltimore, and they lost
again,
at home in the first
round. How many sports stories have there been?
It's two
I use the
in a
Washington
row.
Capitals. Everybody say, Alex Ovechkin can't do it. You know, year after year, they failed in the playoffs. Tons of times. And then he broke through. I think that can happen. I don't think it's impossible
with
that
Trotz,
happens.
A different coach.
They got beat with Barry Trotz by the Penguins year after year with Barry Trotz at the helm.
What year was it when they won?
2018.
Barry was there. Was it year four? No, I mean, what was the year that...
Year four.
How long had he been there as year four?
They didn't bring Barry Trotz back after they won it because he was almost fired twice during that season that they won it. So the narrative can change.
A little tingly feeling in his back, too. Let's go to Angela, who's up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, guys. I want to revisit the Aaron Rodgers building a home in Nashville and get your take on my thoughts. So,
okay.
To me, when you build a home somewhere, that's going to be a close to permanent thing. You know, if he's designing it the way he wants it. So both of his brothers live here, and he doesn't have a great relationship with his family. So
I don't believe Jordan Rodgers lives here. Jordan lives – he lived in Dallas, but I think the last time we talked to him, I don't think he lives in Dallas anymore. Jordan doesn't live here. I'm pretty sure of that.
Okay. Because I was just wondering why he would want to build a home somewhere. I know Nashville is a great market, but why he would want to build a home somewhere close to family that he's not close to if there wasn't an ulterior motive.
Well,
coming to the title.
The benefit, I don't pretend to know what's in his head at all, but the benefit for a lot of people, and I use the example, a lot of Major League Baseball players that we know of that train here. A, it's a great city, as you pointed out, Angela, but the other thing, of course, is when you have residency in Tennessee, it gives you the benefit of not having the state income tax.
True.
So that's incentive for a lot
of rich,
people. Yeah, you save, you keep
rich,
a lot more of your money that way.
Yes.
True. Okay, well, I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on it because I was just thinking from the family aspect that may be another – reason, you know, why he would build here would be for the Titans and just for the Titans.
Yep. Thank you for the phone call. I'm drawing blank. I know he lived in Dallas for a while, but I think the last time we had him on, I asked him where he was at, and it was not. Isn't he? I don't remember. I don't want to just throw something out because I have something in my head, and I'm not sure if that's right or not. But I definitely know it's. I don't think it's here. I feel pretty good about that. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue on the other side. Don't forget Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock. These are all things on tap here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I think a lot of these times, Willie, we've talked about this with athletes over the years and musicians, right? We've actually had fun with this. Athletes want to be musicians, right? Musicians want to be athletes, right? They love.
I thought it was movie stars.
You know, they love.
There's a lot of crossover, right?
Yeah, they love the other world, right? Like, you know, I look, Aaron Rodgers is a big music fan. We know that. He's a big music fan. By the way, famous people hang out with famous people. So if you have a lot of famous people that live here, I mean, then sometimes you want to maybe have a house where you have a lot of friends who are famous that also live in the same place. I mean, I'll never forget when we had C.J. Beathard on years ago when he was the quarterback for the 49ers, and we were promoting his camp that was here in Nashville, and he's like, you know, and we're like, okay, so who's some of the big names you've got coming? And he's like, you know, blah, 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 George Kittle. And I was like, oh, cool. Got George Kittle to come back here and be at your camp? He's like, well, he lives here now. Remember that conversation? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, George Kittle lives here now. He lives in Nashville in the offseason. And that's how we found out. C.J. Beathard came on here, and this was several years ago. And he's like, yeah, George Kittle lives in Nashville in the offseason. The point is, this stuff happens. Like, I've stopped being surprised. And you've brought up the baseball element. People have no idea how many Major League Baseball players have just quietly moved to Nashville. And they live here in the offseason, right? That you had no idea. And I hear names all the time, like current players. And you're like, what? And like, yeah, they built a house or they bought a house in Franklin or Brentwood. Bell Mead, whatever. Yeah, they live there. It's all the time. So we're not trying to, like, I'm just saying that's, we should be numb to this by now. Like, it happens all the time. Now, is there something behind this? I don't know.
No.
For the sake of the Titans getting to where they want, I hope so, because Aaron Rodgers can get them to the promised land.
Okay, but let just think about if there's something to it, okay? I don't think he's building a shack, right? Let's just say this home is going to be a sizable investment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're to believe that he is embarking on this property and already knows he's going to be with the Titans next year?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Can he predict the future? Like, we're going to do this because I know I'm going to be playing for the Titans next year. So just that doesn't line up at all. One has nothing to do with the other. Like, maybe if it happens, it happens. But I don't think it's practical to think that. And I don't think the job is available.
Yeah, that is correct. By the way, the one that I was thinking about, and I was like, I don't really want to say that. I've had several people text me that I'll just leave their names out. But it's either, and it's what I was thinking, it's either Puerto Rico or Costa Rica. I know the last time we talked to him, that's what I had in my mind. I was like, I don't know if I want to blurt that out there because I'm not sure if that's what Jordan said. But I'm getting some text, and people are like, you know, I believe you're on to it. It's either Puerto Rico or Costa Rica. I can't remember which one it is, but I think that's the last time when we talked to Jordan, that's where he said he was living now. Let's go to Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, but it's not here.
Hey guys. I'm just listening to all this and just kind of laughing and thinking it's hilarious, guys. And Willie, I kind of agree with you because I'm not going to get sucked into this again because, of course, Keyshawn Johnson a few weeks ago said that Aaron Rodgers to the Titans would be a perfect fit, and that's what they're saying. You hear now all this stuff about property. Now goes to say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is coming here. Guys, I'll believe it when I see it. I remember a few years ago, everybody was so excited because allegedly there were rumors that Tom Brady was here with Gisele doing the NBA about looking for a school for his son and all this type of stuff. And they said, oh, yeah. And people say, there's no doubt in my mind Tom Brady's coming here. And the Titans were never seriously interested in him. So I'm kind of one of these, I'll believe it when I see it. I just laugh at all this stuff, you know, because Nashville's a great town, great place, great city to live. If it happens, that's great because certainly Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. But I'm like you, Willie. I believe it when I see it. I just don't buy it, guys. Y'all take care.
I do remember. What was it, NBA or Brentwood Academy?
It was NBA. One?
NBA, okay. Yeah.
Which we never verified. I don't know that we ever got that verified. I know a lot of people that are over at NBA. I've never had one of them say, you know what, that Brady stuff, they actually did come in there. I saw it.
They were looking. School, looking at the
glass. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I would have thought at some point, you know, here we are. This is Nashville. What do we always say about Nashville? It's becoming a bigger city, but it's still kind of a small town. If you've been here a long time, you know a lot of people. I've still not had one person say, yeah, you know, I saw Brady over there. He was there. I saw Gisele and the kids, and they actually went through there. I didn't see that.
No, you didn't get
that. But I don't know. Maybe that one slipped under the cracks.
I think the one, like I said, that piqued my interest is that he's open to joining the Titans. But if you're looking for a next landing spot, why wouldn't they be on that list, right?
That's what I think. So I don't think that's any real value. Anything is possible. We just heard from Joel Corey. Anything is possible, but it's not practical.
Let just play along for just a minute before we leave and we come back for Elliot Friedman, final hour. Just play along. If you were able to move the mountain and these three quarterbacks were in play, which one would you want the Titans to move the mountain to make happen? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson?
I think that's pretty easy. Now, the real layered answer would be, what's the price of each one? How much am I giving up to get each one? What are they going to cost against the salary cap? That's everything. But I'm not interested in Deshaun Watson, period.
What if he comes the cheapest?
still not interested. I'm just not going down that road. Maybe another team will. Probably another team will. I'm not interested.
What, you think he's done? He's never going to play again in the NFL?
No. No, I think he will.
Okay. Somebody's going to do it.
I'm just telling you what I don't want him on my team. I've read enough about this situation. I need to see more before I would be even open to it. As is right now, I'm not interested in going down that road. Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time. Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time. So that's your hypothetical, then I think it's Rodgers. But what's the price difference?
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Elliot Freeman, we'll switch gears, talk a little hockey with him next.